Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
And the 1-2. Swing and a miss, it's all over. The Cubs are 15 games above 500. They open up a 4-game lead over St. Louis in the division race and run a very successful homestand. The Cubs against Colorado and Cincinnati win 5 out of 6 games.
Judson Richards back here with you. Hour number 2. That is where the Cubs stand as of now. That's right. 4 games over the St. Louis Cardinals in the NL Central. They are 37-22, tied for the best record in the National League. Hope everyone had a terrific day today. Again, the Cubs, they are off. I think I saw 85 degrees on my way in, so it is summertime. The wife sent me a video from home. The kids are running through the sprinklers. It is that kind of day, and it is a great time to be a Cubs fan. Let's talk about it. Now joining us on the Circus Sports Hotline is former big leaguer, current MLB analyst on Fox and FS1. He's Mark Sweeney. Download the Circa app today. 14 years in the bigs. Again, a Cardinal, a Brewer, a Red, and never a Cub. Mark, great to talk. So what happened there in the NL Central? How come you never ended up with the Cubs?
I don't know. I was trying to knock all of those teams off, and I fell out on the west side. I went to the West Coast, and I missed the Cubs, and I also missed the Arizona Diamondbacks. So that was one of those things that I don't know why, because I am a full-blooded lover of Wrigley Field, because I've had some of those special moments to be at Wrigley Field, and it's spectacular to be a visiting player there too.
Is there one that jumps out with you that we should talk about?
Well, one was good because it was a family dynamic. My brother lived right out near Hinsdale, right outside of Chicago. My sister-in-law is from there, and they were not at the game. We had a day game, and they were not at the game because my sister-in-law was giving birth to my nephew. And I had a pinch hit home run that day. And obviously, as a visitor, they throw it back. I ended up getting the ball. It was a legitimate home run ball. And I got it back, and I got to bring it to the hospital right after the game. So it was a special moment for me and my family.
That's amazing. That's really, really cool, Mark. Also cool is to play 14 years in the bigs. You cover the Cardinals, so you know where we're at in the standings. The Cubs are 37-22. They're 15 games over 500. I feel like Council is kind of in the zone right now. Did you ever have a manager where you just felt like, man, like every move he makes, whether it's a pinch hitter or whether it's a bullpen arm, that he just was kind of in the zone?
Yeah, I would say the closest thing was 1996 with Tony La Russa. It was his first full year in St. Louis, so it was my first dynamic of being a first-year big leaguer, and it just seemed like we had the pieces to make different moves. We had a lot of versatility. We had a lot of veteran leadership, but we also had some younger guys that, that gave us a little energy. And I feel like that. We obviously, me covering St. Louis when we haven't played the Cubs yet, which is strange in that aspect. We also realize what the Cubs have done, how good they've gotten off to a good start. We also know that Craig Counsell is known for being a very good manager in the game. So I think we talked about that last year when I was on with you. So we're aware of what the Cubs are doing. So yeah. you realize when you have a good start like that, by no means does it mean it's going to last the whole year. And I say that respectfully because the game of baseball will smack you in the face.
Yep.
But I also realize that they're the class of this division right now. And there's a reason for it because they have a lot of really talented players there.
He's MLB analyst on Fox and FS1. Mark Sweeney also does some work covering the St. Louis Cardinals as well. So, Mark, are there signs, are there breadcrumbs along the way 2 months into the season that do give you a really good inkling that a team may be headed for the playoffs?
Yes, because I believe the first 2 months you obviously are setting a tone for your organization. I also do believe you realize your identity by close wins, by getting some rare opportunities that guys don't typically get, and they step up and they become a better player than you expected. I say, obviously, PCA is one of those guys that we knew he was going to be really good, but we didn't know he was going to be this good this quickly in baseball, and he has changed the dynamic of that team. That being said, they have really good players, as I mentioned earlier. So when you identify yourself as a team that expects to win every day, and I think you could say that with the Cubs, you can also say that with a bunch of other teams that are in the National League. I think the National League is the cream of the crop in baseball this year. But there's a lot of talented teams that are going out there and performing. This is going to be a more challenging division in the Central. And I think it's going to be teams that are just kind of beating on each other. Mm-hmm. But I would say the cream of the crop definitely is the Cubs at this point.
Who do you think has a push in them in the NL Central to challenge the Cubs potentially?
You have to say the Milwaukee Brewers right now, but you know, I'm covering them, and I'll say this: I think the St. Louis Cardinals have identified themselves as, hey, we don't have the unique superstars that typically are littered in a St. Louis Cardinals uniform. Obviously, Nolan Arenado is probably the closest, but these guys play a consistent brand of baseball, and they defend every single night. And they do little things. It's a kind of a throwback squad that they've done the same thing. They've learned to win series. Even if they lose the first game, they win the next two, or vice versa. If they win the first one, they want to try to win the series the next day, and they act like that. So that's the reason why they identified themselves. But it's a different version of the St. Louis Cardinals. It's not Albert Pujols. It's not Molina. It's not Adam Wainwright. They've done it collectively because they love playing the game and they play it right.
Do you think the Brewers have staying power with how they've been playing recently? What do you make of that team?
I think it's a different version of the Brewers. When you take away from what was a formula of winning last year, I think it gets a little scary. Now, they get off to a rougher start because they've had injuries. They don't have their normal shortstop that they felt like he could drive 100 runs in, and you have to do it different ways. But they're starting to play better baseball. I just think this division is going to be more of let's see how they play against each other. Let's iron this out after, you know, a couple series that you've played. I think it's just unique that the Cubs and Cardinals haven't played against each other yet after 2 months of the season. I think that's very strange.
Yeah, I agree. It's coming in June, right? I think there's definitely a meetup in June between them. He's Fox baseball analyst Mark Sweeney. Mark, are you excited to get a chance to see this version of Pete Crow Armstrong up close and personal? Maybe not if you're pulling for the Cardinals, but no. He's been about the best hitter since April 13th in all of Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and you got to realize, too, I mean, what we do we're talking about the Cardinals, and I'm proud of the Cardinals the way they played because there was little expectations. But I'm a fan of baseball, and you know that, Justin. You've been around me. I love the game of baseball. I love that there's stars and there's budding younger stars. PCA is that. He's the guy that if you're a fan and you haven't watched a Cubs game, you're going out there and you're seeing this guy flourish as a player. He's made Ian Happ better in left field. He's also made it where that outfield is arguably one of the top tier outfields in the game. Mm-hmm. But he's a special player because he's unique with the speed. He can change games with defensively, but also the power aspect. It really doesn't look the part. And when you watch him consistently and you see him, the way he constructs in a bat, it's impressive. So, yeah, I'm proud of the Cardinals, and I can't wait to watch them play against the Cubs. But that's the reason why I say they're the cream of the crop right now, because the way they've played the first third of the season.
Yeah, he's the typical left-handed hitter, Sweeney, as you know, where I think he has the two lowest home run balls, like the balls were the lowest from the strike zone, just off the ground, and that kind of fits in almost that prototypical lefty, almost golf swing, where your body naturally just wants to go down and get it, and then scoop it and drive it.
Yeah, he has a little bit of Johnny Damon in him, and I by no means do I want to say they're comparable, but Johnny Damon had a backspin approach, and sometimes he was more one-handed. You've seen Pete Crow Armstrong have a one-handed swing, but typically, I mean, he's a guy that has unique power, and I say that because he backspins the ball. You don't hear about people talking about backspinning a ball anymore. You hear about less and less. It's launch angle and stuff like that, but it's appealing because he's a gap hitter with power into the gaps, and he has a unique ability to hit that low ball, as you mentioned, and power the baseball. But it's extra base hits. He impacts the game. He can change a game. And I saw him last year when he was in St. Louis, and he impacted the whole series, every single game. And it wasn't consistent at that point. Now you're seeing some consistent play out of him, and it's been special.
His left-handed swing kept him in the bigs for 14 years. He's Mark Sweeney with us on 6-7 The Score. Mark, do you mind if we do just a minute of revisionist history? Because
sure.
Rick Hahn was on MLB Network, and he was talking about, he was asked a very loaded question about what was the worst trade you ever made for the White Sox. And it was a trade with the Padres for a guy named James Shields. And I'll be honest, I didn't remember this. I didn't remember that Tatis had not played a single game in professional baseball for the White Sox as of yet. What do you remember most about that trade going all the way back to 2016?
Well, I think it was more need basis for the White Sox at the time. And I believe that James Shields was a guy that just added depth. And he was a veteran guy, and they expected to catch him at the right time. I remember seeing Fernando Tatis Jr., and he was probably 150 pounds soaking wet. He looked like Alexi Ramirez back in the day with the White Sox.
Right.
And I was like, man, I mean, obviously the pedigree with his dad. I watched his dad play. But, man, did he just come on like gangbusters. And obviously that makes the trade look very awkward. And I'm sure Rick Hahn feels that way too now. But in the moment, the White Sox were way more prepared to win, and they needed pitching, and they needed a veteran pitcher. So I'm sure those things happen a lot. You make those trades, and all of a sudden here comes a guy that we didn't really project as a guy that was going to impact the game at 19, 20 years old. And
grow maybe like 7 inches. I mean, he is an enormous man. There's a real reason why he's in the outfield now.
He is, and I'll tell you this. Like I thought it was going to be one of those positions because he started the shortstop and obviously has the athletic ability and the talent. But I thought that was a really good move. He's moved him to center field, and then they moved him over to right field. And now it's about staying on the field as much as you can. But he's grown into his body. He's one of the special talents in the game of baseball, but still he's one of those guys that's looking for that consistency and MVP style of play, because that's what a lot of the fans put on him. But a really good player that can change a game, like we talked about with Pete Crow Armstrong.
Mark, you are the best. Always enjoy talking ball with you. Thanks for your time tonight.
Judson, thank you for having me, buddy. And I can't wait for the matchup, St. Louis and the Cubs. It'll be a special event.
Good stuff from Mark Sweeney. Had one of the toughest jobs, really, not only in Major League Baseball. If you think hitting a baseball is the toughest thing to do in sports, well, imagine doing it sitting on the bench for 7-8 innings and getting at-bats sporadically. But Mark Sweeney made a living out of being the first lefty off of the bench for 14 years in the bigs. Does a great job with FS1. You also hear him Cardinals pre and post and be in the booth at times too. But Monday, June 23rd, we'll get our first chance to see the Cardinals and the Cubs. I mean, they had to be really, really patient to wait for that. So a series begins in St. Louis beginning Monday, and then they match up again on 4th of July. They begin another series against the Cardinals on 4th of July as well. So two big series coming up. And, you know, Sweeney, he mentioned it. We're only 2 months in, right? There are teams that peak early. There are teams that have a great run. The Cubs last year were great in April. And then things started to fizzle out a little bit. The biggest difference between last year and this year is last year they found their way out of two closers. Adbert Alzolay, Hector Neris, they couldn't stop blowing games. Well, the team on the south side really made an art of it. But the team on the north side had a chance to win some games and couldn't get it done. This year, you feel like you have watched them develop what almost kept them out of the playoffs last year, and that was what was happening in the ninth inning, which what has been so good with Daniel Palencia, who's got five saves and looks to be the guy. Council won't say it, but ultimately does look to be the guy in the ninth inning. What impresses me the most about the Cubs, because Major League Baseball over 162, it is a game of runs, right? Not only just scoring runs, but going on runs. Slumping at the plate, slumps happen everywhere. Slumps happen in life. Slumps happen for teams. Like the Bears had a 10-game slump last year. The great teams, because you're all going to run into it, the great teams run out of them the fastest. The great teams know how to get back on the winning track as they start to stumble. So when I look over the season for the Cubs, you've got, you know, the W is in green if you just go over the season and they got wins and losses. And then the L is in red. First of all, you see a lot more greens than reds, and you just don't see a lot of reds lined up together. They've had one 3-game losing streak the entire season. You got to go back. That was Tuesday, May 6th. If you recall, they lost 2 to the Giants and then the first game in New York against the Mets. It's really the only time they probably lost back-to-back series. They lost that series to the Giants. They lost that series to the Mets. Now, rather quickly after that, Matt Shaw called up. Daniel Palencia really solidified that ninth inning. And Craig Counsell is on a roll with all the moves that he makes in the bullpen. But if I were to make a case of why the Cubs are not just hot for the first 2 months of the season, but have a legitimate chance to not only get to the playoffs, because I don't know how deadly the NL Central is going to be, potentially make some noise in the playoffs. They're a team that just knows how to get back on track quickly, which also means that they've got something in that clubhouse where they don't hold on to losses and they can turn the page faster. And when you are deep 1-9, as Craig Counsell alluded to, if a guy goes through a 2-week slump, he's getting picked up by the hitters around him. So the Cubs, 2 months in, they look built to win, and they've proven it. 37-22 off tonight, and they will play the Nationals tomorrow night in the nation's capital, a game you'll hear right here on 6-7 The Score. Let's go back to the Bears. I've actually written out my expectations for Caleb Williams. Some of you may think that they're too low. I'll explain why I specifically had them low. And DJ Moore, being the good guy, out at youth football camp, his own youth football camp, DJ spoke about what it's like so far playing for Ben Johnson. We'll tackle that coming up on 6-7 The Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's what we've asked in all these guys right now. They're all doing some things a little bit different than what they've done in their past, whether at this level or in college. You're learning, you're growing. They are getting uncomfortable with it. I go back when I was young, someone told me it takes 21 days to learn a new habit and let it get in your unconscious. I don't know if that's true or not, but the good news is this. We had 3 or 4 good weeks on the grass with him in phase 2 and that prior mini camp that we were able to get ahead a lot of that. And he did a great job in the downtime, just going ahead and taking it and running with it, and when the coaches weren't around as well. And we're not talking so much about the feet and the footwork anymore with him, and it's more big picture plays, routes, ball location, coverages. It's more big picture stuff.
98 days away. Is that too far away to be counting down? Judson Richards back here with you on 6-7 The Score with you all the way until 9 o'clock. That's how far away we are from Monday night football, that Vikings and that Bears game at Soldier Field week 1. Listen, I don't think it's too far away because we've got the excitement of training camp, which is before that. So we are just a few months away, but we also tomorrow have mandatory, that's a big M, mandatory mini camp for the Chicago Bears. And so Ben Johnson can continue to scream and yell and get these guys in the right place. And if they don't do it right, they're going to do it again. We'll hear from DJ Moore in just a minute. DJ Moore, he always seems to be draped with children. I don't know if he's got 3, he's got 4. That was a great part of Hard Knocks last year. But he's surrounded by more children because of his youth football camp he did over the weekend. Roma Dunze was there as well. So we'll hear from DJ in just a minute. Statistics for Caleb Williams in 2025. I'm trying not to go down that path that we went down last year. Remember what we talked about last year? This is the best position that any number one overall pick has ever been in. He's got more weapons than any number one overall pick has ever been in. We were reminded the importance of coaching, right? We were reminded, and by the way, I don't like to celebrate myself, but if you listened, we all had question marks about Matt Eberflus. We all had questions about Shane Waldron. So we got a great reminder that no quarterback, even as athletic as Caleb Williams, is going to overcome a terrible coaching staff.
Our culture is awesome.
No. Was that before or after the 10-game losing streak?
Oh, I think that was from 2023, actually.
It might have been. I was going to say.
I've had that one up there for a while.
It's awesome. No, Matt, the only thing awesome about you is your house. Your home was awesome. That Hard Knocks should have just been like a real estate show. I would have liked to seen more about what the master bedroom was like and how much he purchased it for in square footage, because everything else when it got to the football was woeful.
Bees?
So, Caleb Williams and his statistics in 2025. Now, do you remember what he did last year? 62.5% completion percentage. Again, his numbers, all things considered for Caleb, not too bad. 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. The bad part? 68 sacks. Do you know who had the closest number of sacks behind him? Do you know who was number two on the most sacks? Studs, you want to take a guess?
I want to say C.J. Stroud.
That would be correct. If Caleb had 68, how many things C.J. had?
I think he had 40. It was way less.
No, it was 52.
52, okay.
Yeah, still 16 fewer times being tackled by...
More than I thought. I knew it was a lot for C.J. also, but... Geez.
It was a lot. Nowhere near Caleb at 68. C.J. was number two. So 62.5 completion percentage, which is a big one. Again, that's an important stat. Wasn't great for Caleb. 3,541 yards is what he threw for. Okay, so here's the bump up that I'm looking for Caleb. Because I think we're getting lost in the, he's got embarrassment of riches again. I've heard that. I've read that. Can I just remind you about the embarrassment? Colson Loveland has never played a snap in the NFL. He's not even going to be healthy yet for minicamp. Luther Burden III, their second rounder, also has never played in the NFL, has never played in Ben Johnson's offense. I look at Caleb closer to a rookie of what happened last year. I mean, we're still doing footwork things. We're still doing the which foot is forward for Caleb Williams. So before we dive into the embarrassment of riches, let's be realistic and let's have a little respect for the difficulty of the position. It is the most difficult position in sports to be great at. How many elite quarterbacks are there in the world? 10? That's not because people don't want to make a ton of money. It's because it's an incredibly tough thing to do. And even, I'll appreciate Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson addressing the body language of Caleb Williams, even alluded, yeah, we may lose a few games in a row.
There's adversity that's going to hit every team, every season. You don't know when it's going to happen. We might lose a few games. We might have some turnovers. And yet, just the wherewithal of we're steering the ship, we're going the right direction. It's not woe is me. We are going to take everyone around us, we're going to elevate them, and we're going to look to forge ahead to what's next. And so it's not dwelling on the past. It's not whether it's last season, last play, last game. That's, we learn from it, we grow, and we move on. And so our body language needs to reflect that as well.
Judson Richards back with you on 6-7 The Score all the way until 9 o'clock. 312-644-6767. We're talking about realistic expectations for the 2025 season for Caleb Williams. You can text us as well, 312-644-6767. Did I think that Caleb Williams had bad body language last year? I actually didn't. There were a couple times on the bench. I know there's the meme or the gif of him somewhat sitting sideways on the bench. If we're being fair, that dude got humbled. That dude got destroyed. And I'll say, too, a lot of it was him holding on to the ball too long, right? Like, Caleb at times looked like he was trying too hard to not be the guy who didn't want to be labeled a scrambler. And he stayed in the pocket when he didn't know where to go with the ball, where he should have gotten out of the pocket. I say that because I don't think he was diagnosed with a concussion. It almost seems impossible to be sacked 68 times in a season and not come away concussed one time. So if he looked a little googly-eyed on the bench while leaning to the side with his head hanging, I think that there may have been some other things that were happening to Caleb. But it is important to go over body language. I do think body language is incredibly important. I hate palms up guy. It's one of the difficult parts I have about watching the NBA, because every time a guy drives a lane, he's looking at the official, palms up, why didn't you call a foul? But I think it's good that Ben Johnson acknowledged, hey, we may go through some rough patches. How do we conduct ourselves? And so I've got my statistics for 2025 for Caleb Williams. I find them to be very realistic. Because the Bears are not trying to build the best second-year quarterback of all time. What they want is a quarterback that has sustained success and someday may get a chance to win a Super Bowl and wear a gold jacket. How do you do that? Foundation. You know who took a couple years to be great? Josh Allen. You know who was great immediately? Carson Wentz. So what are we doing here? Are we trying to build a quarterback for sustained success, or are we fascinated with him just being great by year two? So these are the numbers I come up with. All right, I've got a 65% completion percentage. That's a 2.5% jump. That's pretty good. Aaron Rodgers, I believe, career averages 65% completion percentage. I'm jumping up 8 touchdowns. I'm going from 20 touchdowns to 28 touchdowns. And Caleb threw only 6 interceptions last year. I wouldn't be bothered with more interceptions because we know that Ben Johnson is looking for big plays always. But single digits in interceptions for Caleb would be awesome. All right, so I've got 28 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Here's a big one. I'm looking for 30 sacks or less. That would be in probably the top 8 of the league if he took 30 sacks or less. And then the big one, I'm not trying to set a record single season for the Bears, 3,800 passing yards. I think he's going to do that rather easily. He threw for 3,541 last year. And if Ben Johnson is as good as he says he is, or as good as everyone thinks he is, then I think 3,800 passing yards for Caleb Williams should be very, very attainable.
I have a couple questions.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
So the Bears' single season record is 38-38.
Correct.
You don't think he can get to 38-40? Can we give him 38-40?
I absolutely do.
Okay, so we're going to give him the Bears' single season passing record as a... As a expectation, that's not very high for the record.
Well, right, and don't forget, 17 games.
True.
So you've got an added game for all of these numbers. Other questions?
The 28 touchdowns, I think respectable.
Yeah,
right?
28 touchdowns.
And that's 8 more than last season.
Correct. Yeah.
Can we get him to 30? The first Bears quarterback to ever hit 30.
Can you see what I did here? I avoided what I did last year. I think I may have had him setting all of these rather low records last year. One of the reasons why I think he may not set them, studs, is if you watch Ben Johnson's offense, he runs the football. He runs it, he runs it, he runs it. He threatens you that he's going to run it, and then he runs it again. Right? And so I think that the Bears are going to work hard. Now, I've got questions about the running back room and who exactly is going to be the Jahmyr Gibbs to do this. I know who his Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to be, and that's DJ Moore, who we'll hear from in a minute. But I think that these numbers, I've set my expectations to be realistic, and so much of it has to do with what the Bears did to him last year. Now, do you think he's going to... Would you take the over or under of the numbers that I set? 65% completion percentage, 28 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, less than 30 sacks, 3,800 yards passing.
I would take the over on 3,800 yards. I would probably take the over on 30 sacks. I think it'd be great if it was 30 or less, but it's probably, you know, that's even if it's 31, that's a greater than half reduction from the previous season.
Right.
So that's drastic improvement.
Right.
And
although they've spent a lot of money to drastically improve, I believe they're fifth, sixth, and seventh highest paid on the roster goes Joe Tooney, Drew Dahlman, Jonah Jackson. Left guard, center, right guard.
I would probably then take, 28 touchdowns is pretty reasonable. I almost want to take the push on that one. If you're giving me 28 and a half, I would take the under and say 28.
Right.
Also, by the way, if he did throw for 28 touchdowns, that would be the second most in a single season in Bears history.
Yeah.
The record is 29 also by Eric Kramer.
Right. And so that only tells us how woeful the quarterback position has been in Chicago, and we've added a 17th game.
I was telling some friends maybe a month or two ago, I really want, if I believe that Caleb will eventually hit this 4,000 yard and the 30 touchdown threshold for the Bears. Like we're talking about here, I don't necessarily think it'll be this year. I think he will by next season, but either way, I really want him to hit both of those thresholds in 16 games. So that way we don't have to have the... Because the joke the Bears did go the entire 16-game time of the NFL without either of those happening. So I just want him to do it in 16 games or less so we can say, right, hey, he did do it in 16 games.
No asterisk, no howevers. But you don't hear, as guys set records, right? Like Saquon Barkley, there wasn't a lot of talk about how he did it in 17 games or was approaching it in 17 games. I think Eric Dickerson may have done his in 14 games. So let's just check those boxes and move on. Getting to that 3,800 yards or surpassing it's going to have a lot to do with a guy by the name of DJ Moore. DJ was out of his youth football camp in Deerfield over the weekend. He was asked some questions. This is courtesy of WGN. Was asked some questions about this offense and, of course, playing for Ben Johnson.
Ben's intense, as everybody can see. He's demanding a lot out of everybody, and it's good on us to have a little change, and looking forward to it all coming up.
How is learning the new offense? And, like, I know it's very early stages of it, but what are the biggest differences you've noticed?
The details, how he demands perfection, and if we don't do it, we got to go back and do it again. And you really got to study this playbook, so I've been in my playbook a lot.
Is there a feeling of, like, fresh excitement, new, kind of putting last season behind, and, like, you feel, like, rejuvenated almost coming into this season?
Rejuvenated, yes. you can't put them feelings, the losses in the past, but you got to, and you got to move on to this new regime and just go with the everything that they got going on and just trust the process.
With all the new coaching changes and some new faces, too, on the team, like, what's the biggest, most important part of the offseason to kind of get everybody to gel together as you guys get ready for the season?
Just bonding time, whether it's just out here or just going to dinners and just getting to know everybody.
What have been the biggest differences you've noticed as Ben, as a coach, but then as a person, too?
As soon as he steps on the field, he's intense. It's like the little smiles he has, it goes away, and then he's wanting to make sure everybody's on task.
And how's it feel going into you, just another season? Like, is it kind of crazy? Year
it's
eight?
Crazy. But I'm still here, so I'm still having fun.
You know what? I hope DJ Moore is having a restful off season, because if Ben Johnson has any plans to use him like Amon-Ra St. Brown, man, oh man, it may be a productive season, but it is going to be a physical season. The saying, the straw that stirs the drink, well, that was Amon-Ra St. Brown. If you watched how he used him with the Lions, there wasn't a position he didn't line him up as. I mean, we are talking whether it's all the way out as a wideout, out of the slot, he would line him up as a straight running back. And oftentimes, when he didn't use him in some of those spots, Amon-Ra St. Brown was going all out blocking. He was everywhere on the field and also, again, asked to be a very physical blocker. The DJ Moore body language last year, that's a bigger question mark for me as far as what Ben Johnson would want to address versus Caleb Williams. But DJ Moore may hit some record numbers if he's able to use him like he did Amon-Ra St. Brown. But he used him literally everywhere. I mean, go watch it on YouTube. It's pretty fascinating, the creativity that he used on St. Brown, but also what St. Brown was asked to do. I mean, cracking down, blocking on a lot of linebackers. Now, Amon-Ra St. Brown wouldn't stand him up for 30 or 40 seconds. He would just get there, redirect him. But that is still constant physicality. But the Bears are best when the ball is in DJ Moore's hands. If I know that, there's a good chance that Ben Johnson is going to make it work that way. It'll be really interesting to see very early on if he is the straw that stirs the drink, just like Amon-Ra St. Brown was in Detroit. Hey, coming up at 8 o'clock, we will talk about not only the Bulls, the NBA draft, the NBA combine that was here in Chicago. We'll also talk a little bit about the NBA finals, because the rosters are drastically different than years past. This is no longer go find your big three stars. And so should the NBA Finals maybe give us a little bit more positivity about the direction of the Bulls? We'll tackle that coming up at 8 o'clock. But let's stick with the Bears. On the other side, is there one guy in a Bears uniform that could be hunting for his next job? We'll talk about that coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, made a good case.
Already with the puns.
Oh, the star himself, David Hall on CHSN. Yeah, made a good case. How about that for Case Keenum, right? Good pun. Speaking of puns, who read the Chicago Sun-Times article today about what was happening in Springfield and coming up short? Not the best day for the Bears and their stadium push. They were looking, you know, to get some locked-in taxes numbers they did not get. It was like the columnist was dared. How many puns can you get in to this article? I would encourage you to read it if you appreciate a good pun, as I know David Ha does, talking about Case Keenum there. By the way, before we hear from Case Keenum, on Caleb Williams, another hit, another offseason hit for the Detroit Lions. Lions center Frank Ragnow, a four-time Pro Bowl selection in his seven NFL seasons. A Pro Bowler in four of seven seasons, so not yet 30, decides to retire. So, listen, the Bears need to worry about the Bears. The Detroit Lions may just pick up where they left off. But, man, if they do, well, Dan Campbell deserves perhaps another Coach of the Year award, although I think they went to Kevin O'Connell last year. But he would deserve it anyways by losing the two coordinators as coveted as they are and now losing Frank Ragnow. You know who may be a coach sometime soon? I was thinking about this. Case Keenum, if he's putting together a resume, if he has aspirations to be a quarterback's coach or an offensive coordinator someday, I mean, how good of a resume could Keenum have by being in the same room of C.J. Stroud's rookie season, now getting a chance to learn Ben Johnson's offense, one of the most highly thought of offensive minds in the NFL, and also get a chance to somewhat teach it or be among the teachers teaching it to Caleb Williams. Now, Case was asked if he had aspirations to be a coach. He said, talk to my wife, which tells me, yes, he does have plans, but he's not ready to say it out loud because he needs his wife to approve it. Why would you need your wife to approve it? Because these guys virtually live at the facility because you are virtually always gone. So if you made the money that Case Keenum has made over his career, does he then want to spend it away from his family as much time as it takes to be a coach? Now, if your husband or wife or significant other just loves something so much, if it's their identity, you may want to go ahead and do it. But if Case Keenum decides, honey, I would like to go be a coach, damn, he's got a good resume, especially if Caleb Williams pops. If Caleb Williams has a great season, if Ben Johnson is able to take his offense from Detroit and move it to Chicago, and then Case can say, yeah, I very clearly understand what we've done. I know what his plan was ultimately. I know the verbiage. I know the language. I know what worked. I know what didn't. I can get inside the mind of Ben Johnson, and I can show you what he did offensively. Then Case may have a very, very valuable case to make. See what I did there, David Haw? May have a very, very valuable case to become a quarterback's coach. Thank you. Become a quarterback's coach very, very quickly. Case also had this to say, which should make us all feel very good about Caleb Williams.
What jumped out immediately was just effortless arm talent. I don't know if I've seen a guy do that as a young guy. But just being able to take sometimes what defenses give you and not make this crazy big, you know, off-schedule play. Letting those plays kind of come to you. And I think he found some spots of that last year. And, he's settled into this offense and how Ben sees it and trying to get on the same page with him and Press and Deck and JT, trying to all come out of that quarterback room and seeing the defense the exact same way as the play caller has been. So, what we're trying to accomplish and how we're trying to accomplish it, along with the footwork, the operation before the snap, defense recognition, all those things combined with leadership. So It's quarterbacking. I mean, it's an art and it's a science and it's all of that combined. And there's a 100 ways of getting the ball down the field. But in the end, I think there is some common threads, some common themes of being a pro quarterback, what it means day in and day out, showing up here, being ready to do your job. And, that's representing himself, his family, an offense, a coaching staff, the team, an organization and a city like Chicago, where it was such a storied tradition of players and coaches and really sports teams. It's incredible that he's got a chance to do that, and he's going to do it for a long time.
Now, there's also another very common thread that Case Keenum and Caleb Williams have. Keenum admitted that although he was part of one of the most prolific offenses that college football had ever seen at the University of Houston, he knew very little about watching film, breaking it down, or more importantly, understanding what the defenses were throwing at him and also how to change around the offenses that they put together, virtually running a play left-handed versus right-handed, just moving people that were on one side of the field, wide receivers, tight ends, and otherwise, and switching it to go up against a defense. Caleb comes from USC and Oklahoma, with Lincoln Riley, where they virtually looked at the sideline. The entire team looked at the sideline, got a play. Caleb looked back at the ball, snapped, and got it. So Case understands being overwhelmed from what he saw in college and then trying to do it in the pros. There are so many ways that he can help Caleb, and I think if Case wants to be a coach, the resume that he's built between C.J. Stroud and now with Ben Johnson, I think he would have a job immediately. All right, our NBA Finals is set. And I'll be the barn burner for ratings, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers. But more importantly, how these rosters are constructed, should it make us feel better about the Bulls moving forward? We'll dive into the NBA coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.